I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. Across the country, we're seeing what appears to be a disturbing trend in our jails. Due to violence, inadequate medical care, suicide, incarcerated people are increasingly vulnerable behind bars. A report from the Texas Observer earlier this year showed that 124 people died last year in Texas jails. This month alone, three inmates died in a Louisville jail. Just last week, a 16th person died in New York City's jails. And recently in New Jersey, a man named Jayshon Boyd was brutally beaten in a lockup for more than 2 minutes straight without any guards intervening. He ended up in a coma. This doesn't look like a problem that's going away. In fact, it might actually be getting worse. According to 2021 data from the Department of Justice, 1,120 people died in local jails across the country in 2018. That's the highest level recorded since they started collecting data 20 years ago. What makes this crisis even worse is that a jail, unlike a prison, is meant for short sentences or for temporary confinement while they await trial. That means that right now, more than 465,000 people are held in jails across the country who haven't been convicted of anything. We wanted to find out more about exactly what is happening in our country's jails. For more on this, I spoke with Nafisa Goldsmith, the chair of New Jersey Prison Justice Watch, and Samantha Malamed, a reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. I started off by asking Samantha to break down what sort of violence and dangers inmates are facing in Philadelphia's jails.
I mean, ever since the start of the pandemic, the jails have been on various versions of lockdowns, starting with about 45 minutes out of cell per day. And, you know, varying from there, sometimes people are getting 3 hours. But between the lack of out of cell time and the short staffing, the tensions have just been escalating. Five people since the start of the pandemic have been killed by their cellmates inside the jails, and there have been a number of suicides. All told this year, there have been 15 deaths inside the Philly jails.
What are the reasons behind these deaths?
Some of the deaths are just listed as pending right now, meaning that the cause has not been disclosed. We do know that a number of them are drug overdoses, at least two suicides this year, and at least three homicides this year. The reality now is that a lot of units are on medical quarantine. Over one quarter of the jail, the last I heard, was on COVID quarantine. However, even those units that are vaccinated or not on quarantine, people aren't necessarily getting out because there's just not enough staff to let them out. So it's really because of the short staffing that people are not able to come out to take showers. Some people I heard from had not been outdoors, got any fresh air in like a month or several months.
Well, Nafisa, the deterioration in conditions and the violence, I mean, what Samantha is talking about isn't an anomaly, right? It's something we've been seeing around the country. You're an advocate in New Jersey. So, I mean, I imagine what Samantha just described sounds familiar to what you've seen in your state?
Yes, but there has to be something made clear. This is nothing new. This is not all of a sudden a, major influx in violence in jails. It's just that people are getting it out more efficiently. I was incarcerated in 2000 in a county jail, and I was there for a year. And violence was the same. The difference is that we did not have the technology to be able to get the word out. And when these incidents would occur, the phones and the units would be cut off, so you can't call home. Visits would be stopped, so you can't tell your family members. But now, as we saw, those who did see the horrific footage of the Jayshon Boyd attack, the only reason why the public knew was because of the video that was leaked. And that had to be from someone on the correction side, because it was officers commentating on the actual footage, not the event as it was happening. So it's not that it's new. It's just that we're able to get the word out now. This is common. This is a culture. It is a culture of abuse. It is a culture of violence. And it is a culture of torture. And we're now being able to see it thanks to technology.
Samantha, I want to just take a step back and get some of this terminology right. We're talking about inmates in jails, not prisons. Can you describe who the people are in jails and why they're there and how it's different from state prisons, for example?
You know, the people who are in the jails, and there are about 4,600 people who are incarcerated in the Philadelphia jails. Many of them have not been to trial. They're awaiting trial. They may be in on probation violations. A small number may be serving short sentences, whereas incarcerated people in prisons, are already sentenced to, in Pennsylvania, to terms of at least a year to 2 years in prison or more.
You mentioned earlier that there is a staffing problem in the Philadelphia jails. Can you explain maybe some of the other reasons you've been given for why there's growing violence behind bars?
You know, like, these are people who are often coming in addiction, maybe still with drugs in their system or drugs, you know, on their persons, you know, who are at risk of overdose or withdrawal. Some of the homicides that I saw when I went back and looked at the criminal information, the basis for the arrest for the person who, you know, appeared to be the one who committed the homicide. I mean, it was clear that it was a person in psychotic crisis, you know, someone who had just been committing like random acts of violence, for instance, just beating people on a subway train and then just put in a cell with a nonviolent drug offender or something like that. So, you know, from what I hear from current and former correctional officers, you know, there should be more care with regard to how people are placed in the cells, so that, you know, you're not putting people at risk. The other thing that is coming up is just that units are being left totally unsupervised. And so, you know, people are, you know, I've seen video and published video of people who were attacked and stabbed, and then the other incarcerated people rushed over to clean up the blood before anyone came and saw, so that they wouldn't all be locked in. So, you know, like, these are some of the things that are going on. And of course, also, you see with correctional officers, I mean, some of the officers have been working 16 or 20 hour shifts, and really are at their own psychological breaking points. And, you know, we've seen some incidents where, you know, an incarcerated person sees the opportunity to make a phone call, grabs it, and then, you know, the officer comes over, tells him to hang up, and they end up getting into a physical altercation. In one case, the officer ended up, you know, really badly beating an incarcerated person with his walkie-talkie. So, yeah, I mean, it's just that tensions, I think, are really, really high. And it's really hard even to get mental health treatment for people, because there's no one even to go and escort someone down to, you know, a counselor. So, I mean, it's just a total breakdown from what I understand in like those basic functions of the jail.
Nafisa, how do we make these jails more humane? Is more corrections officers or bringing in the National Guard, are those possible solutions to this?
Well, I think we should also look at the qualifications when it comes to individuals being hired. You have a lot of young people between 18 and 25 years old who end up going to these academies, and they are being put in positions where they are, you know, responsible for the lives of individuals who are twice their age, three times their age. And these young people are frightened, many of them, and a lot of them respond out of fear. I say that there definitely has to be a new way of how we manage lives. And so, you know, I'm not in the business of making prison better. I'm not here for that. What I am here for is the humane treatment of individuals who are incarcerated, seeing to it that they receive the medical treatment, that they get classified the way that they should be. One of those things, and I like that Samantha spoke to it, is the fact of who they're housing and how they're housing them. With Jayshon Boyd, with Essex County, that Essex County beating, this young man, they knew that he had schizophrenia, and they put him in a gang unit. And also, he was from another county. There are county jails closing all over the state, and they're contracting their population to other jails. And so what is common amongst what happened with Jayshon Boyd and the individual who was stabbed to death and killed at Essex is that both of those young men came from Union County Jail. So there's also county beefs. They exist. And we have to have real stakeholders in the community who's a part of the, you know, decision making and also how we look at incarcerating people. It has to be classifying them the way that they should be, making sure they receive the proper treatment while they're there, as well as coming up with more holistic approaches to how we not only manage the individuals being detained or incarcerated, but the people who are stepping into these positions. You have to be thoughtful. I would never want to put my 18-year-old or 21-year-old in a position where they have to break up a jail fight or a prison fight and they're not prepared. That is frightening. I don't know any young person who would have wanted to respond quickly to what we saw with the Jayshon Boyd video. I mean, you have to be properly trained, and it goes beyond just 9 or 13 weeks of training. It does not make you prepared. So we have to look at how, you know, our officers, because it's not like we're angry with the officers. It's the culture. That's abusive to not have people properly trained and putting them in spaces where their lives are at stake as well.
The other way to address this is to get more people out of the jails, to reduce the jail population. You know, like that would be one way to address the staffing issue, and that there should be more transparency and accountability when these issues do happen. Because what we've seen is that there have been criminal prosecutions, but it's only when these issues are exposed by the press or by social media.
And getting people out of the jails, that means
reducing the jail population so that the people that you are incarcerating are the people who really, you know, do need to be in jail, and you have the staff that are appropriate in order to make sure that they're kept there safely.
That was Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Samantha Melamed and Nafisa Goldsmith, the chair of New Jersey Prison Justice Watch.